to Paul Holes, who was the investigator in the Golden State Killer case. And as I was researching the topic, I realized that a lot of the reason that they found the killer was they used the genealogy DNA website, and then kind of took those and looked at the family tree and ended up finding the killer. And I was just wondering, what kind of information are we giving to people if we use those websites? And the expert for the evening is Professor Natalie Ram. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Professor Natalie Ram is a law professor at Baltimore University of Baltimore, where she focuses on the intersection of bioethics and the law. Did I say that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. So companies like Ancestry.com, 23andMe are popular, and people are sending in their DNA. What are we giving these companies unknowingly or knowingly?
So when you send your DNA information, you bit in a tube or you swab a Q-tip along the inside of your cheek, you mail it off, and those companies are making certain promises to you about what kind of genetic information they're going to be able to deliver back to you, right? So depending on the company, they'll be looking either solely at ancestral genealogical data, or in some instances also at genes that can give you some insight into your health, your taste. You know, there's a commercial from one of these companies about, you know, what do you think of the taste of cilantro, right? So it can be very, you know, kind of small bore stuff, but it can also be really important health indicators. Cancer-causing gene variants and those sorts of things. Now, what types of information they have and how they use it will be governed principally by the terms of service and the privacy policy and the informed consent documents that you sign or are assumed to have read before you send your DNA sample off for testing.
So it's governed by what you read and what people probably don't read, because they don't think about it. They just want to know where they come from, and they don't think past that. But Professor Ram, what should people be worried about? What kinds of things could be done with this information that could impact the individual?
Well, so you might, if you're really interested in genealogical data, you might get some genealogical surprises, right? So it's possible you might find out that a family member you thought you were genetically related to is not, in fact, your genetic relative. But in light of, you know, the reason you and I are talking this evening, the Golden State Killer case, that's reminding everyone that the data in this database has some pretty tenuous legal protection, right? You have an agreement with the company that's doing the genetic analysis, but the extent of protection that they can offer you and guarantee for you against, you know, a request or a court-ordered subpoena or court-ordered warrant from law enforcement, that's pretty limited.
So let's just say, I mean, no one ever thinks that they are going to commit a crime, and people don't even really think that someone in their family is going to commit a crime. But let's just say that I get my DNA tested, I sign some confidentiality that they're not going to use it, but the government decides to issue a subpoena for the information because they think it might lead them to a killer in a case in some other state. I don't have any right to object to that, do I?
Well, so what's interesting is that the Golden State Killer case, right, at least so far as we know right now, doesn't involve a subpoena or a warrant at all. In that case, what it sounds like happened is that investigators developed a DNA profile from crime scene DNA, uploaded it to this particular website, the searchable genealogical database, which might or might not have been in violation of the terms of use of that website, and then searched, you know, compared to the DNA of all these other folks who are out there looking for lost relatives or unknown relatives, right? No one's thinking about what it means that the police might introduce a genetic profile there that might be used to develop leads to solve a crime, right? And what's really interesting and, in my view, troubling about this is that, you know, when Mr. Holmes was speaking with you earlier, he emphasized a couple of times the way in which people voluntarily, they opted in to share their data. They chose to make it searchable, right? But the person who was ultimately identified in this instance, he wasn't ever opting in to having his genetic information shared in this searchable database, right? Some distant cousin uploaded their DNA, but Mr. D'Angelo himself did not. And the reason that police were able to track down Mr. D'Angelo has to do with the way in which genetic information is inherited, right? It's inherited in predictable patterns. I inherited 50% of my DNA from each of my parents. So I'll give each of my children 50% of my DNA, right? But that's not a product of choice. That's just biology, right? So I think that there's a lot of really complicated questions here about what it means to volunteer your data or to knowingly share your data, and where the limits of that really are.
And, you know, I think a lot of people, Professor, are going to say, well, we caught the killer after 42 years. What does it matter? Any means to get the bad guy is okay with me. What would your reaction to that be?
Well, so it's undeniable. Look, cracking this case is a triumph for public safety. That's unquestionable.
Right.
But just because something allows us to solve more crimes doesn't mean that we should do it, right? The police could solve many, many more crimes if they could indiscriminately search through your house anytime they wanted, just because they felt like it. It helps keep people honest, right? If you know that the police can come into your house anytime, you maybe won't commit any crimes in your house, or folks who might commit crimes wouldn't do it there, right? But the fact of the matter is, we have a very strong protection against police entering your home. We have the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which says that the police can't engage in unreasonable searches and seizures unless they have a warrant. And a warrant requires individualized and particularized suspicion. And the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, has said that you have an expectation of privacy in your genetic information just like you have an expectation of privacy in your home, right? And so that's meaningful, that's powerful, and that means that you know, the government can't just do whatever they want with your DNA. Privacy matters.
Professor Ram, we have just a few seconds, but I know that maybe it was even tonight, 60 Minutes was talking about that some of this research might be used to doing this kind of designer baby technology, meaning to try to cull out certain genes in order to allow people to have children with certain attributes. Do you have knowledge that some of these companies are actually using the DNA for those kinds of tests?
Well, so I think designer baby is a really loaded term, so I don't like that term, but I understand what you're getting at. So I know that there's at least one company that applied for a patent on a technology that would show prospective parents how their DNA might combine with the DNA of a particular egg or sperm donor if you're seeking an egg or sperm donor. I don't know how much this adds to the kinds of voluminous information that, you know, sperm banks are already collecting from sperm donors and making available to prospective parents. And so I'm not sure how worried we ought to really be about this. It may not be as revolutionary as it seems. For one thing, I also don't think this particular patent is in practice now. But if it were, and if a company advertises and promises you information or promises that they can tell you something about your future child's height or personality or intelligence, I would tell you not to believe them, because at least given what we know about genetic information so far, and we're learning every day that there's even more we don't know, right? These kinds of traits are way too complex to predict with any real degree of accuracy, and they're also hugely affected by environmental factors, right? Nurture as well as nature.
Understood. Professor Natalie Ram from the University of Baltimore, thank you so much for joining us here in Chicago. Have a great night.
Thank you.